helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, our National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with me is Isaac Knopf. Isaac, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here.
All right. Well, before we jump in, a little bio about who you are, Isaac. You're a second-year medical student at the University of Washington. When you're undergraduate, you studied biochemistry. Medical school, you started a medical student ministry, and recently did a four-week-long spiritual care practicum at Loma Linda Health University, which we're going to discuss and go a little bit more in depth on later in our conversation. But kind of, you know, at the beginning of our time together, I always love to get a sense of kind of what led you into medicine. You're a Christ follower, your second year into your training year. What led you into this? What began this journey for you to consider this vocation of medicine?
Yeah, I think it all really started with my dad. He's a family care doc, has been family care doc for the past 15 years. And he started to go on these mission trips over to Haiti with a group called Friends of Haiti. And when he would come back, he would tell us these stories about how, you know, he provided medical care for the community and what the culture was like there. And I think that that captivated my mind at a young age and got me intrigued in medicine and what it could do for people. I specifically remember him bringing back little artifacts and knickknacks that were an expression of what life was like over there. Mm-hmm. Particularly, he would talk about how they have these big tarantulas. And we thought that was like the coolest thing ever. And one day, one of the trips, we asked him to bring us back a pair of tarantula fangs. And he did. So we have a little bag of those. But I think at a young age, just learning about what he was doing overseas made me interested in medicine. Mm. And I think we all inherently see what our dads are doing and their vocation and want to emanate that. So that got me interested in exploring it in undergrad and through, you know, the process of volunteering. I was a phlebotomist for a little bit, shadowing the physicians at the hospital. I think that really sold me on this idea of medicine.
Yeah. Well, I know from your story, it wasn't an easy journey. You had to get a sense of calling in this to persevere because I think your undergraduate studies were very challenging for you, were they not?
Yeah, that's right. I think that when you have a goal, especially if you're someone, well, most of us in medicine are type A, you know, we get this goal into our minds and we just want to pursue it. And I think that was a learning process in undergrad because you can kind of get lost in the goal. You know, you're like, I want to go to medical school so bad. I'm going to do anything in order to get there. And through that process, you kind of learn boundaries. You learn, you know, what's taking it too far. Maybe you lose yourself a little bit in the process, which I feel like there was some of that in undergrad. I kind of had to take a step back and get the bigger picture. But I think something that I look back at through that season, and I'm just thankful for, is the fact that God did not lose sight of me, even though I may have lost vision of him at times. And I think in the season that I'm in right now, I'm just incredibly grateful for that. Yeah. All the people too, the brothers and sisters who stood by me.
It seems though that as you got into medical school, you did have a bit of a clear vision as to how your faith was going to intersect medicine. It was a question you were asking yourself. What answers were you getting? Were you, you know, what was it looking like as you thought about bringing your faith into medicine, praying with patients, I suspect? Well, yes, give us a little insight into what you were thinking.
Yeah, so historically, I was always plugged in with ministry ever since I started to have a relationship with God back in high school. So I knew that I wanted to continue to be involved in ministry going into medical school. In college, I helped lead a campus ministry. I would lead worship and Bible studies. So I wanted to do those things in medical school. And as I begin to learn more about what was available, I realized there isn't really a medical school student ministry at the University of Washington. And I knew that I wanted that because it had been so instrumental in my own life and my own faith journey. So I decided to reach out to my class and express this interest. And that was kind of the beginning of something that God was doing. Thankfully, we had faithful prayer partners praying for the ministry during that time, and I think things really came together as students expressed interest. So that's kind of the colleague slash classmate side of how I was living out my faith during that time. But in addition to that, when I was in the clinical space, I felt like God was really working on my heart and prompting me to think about how I can meet the spiritual needs of my patients. And what that looks like for a time was I was involved with patients in the pre-op space before they went to go have surgery. And I felt this calling to pray for my patients. And during that time, I didn't have any spiritual care training. So I wasn't really educated on how to go about doing that. But I just felt like it was something important that God was calling me to do. So, as uncomfortable as especially those initial encounters were, I began to ask patients before they go back to surgery, "Hey, can I pray for you? Would it be helpful if I pray for you before your surgery?" And
What was the response you were getting typically?
yeah, I think this is one of the biggest realizations for me as I began to practice spiritual care in the clinical setting is that we oftentimes think that people are very closed off to the idea of spirituality, spiritual care, fill in the blank, especially in Seattle, where there tends to be this unspoken culture that people don't want anything to do with religion, which I don't think is true, but I think it's kind of like the overshadowing of the scenery. And what I found when I started to have these conversations with patients is that I would say more than half of them would say yes, and the other half weren't like yelling and screaming at me and telling me like that I shouldn't be doing that. They would just say, "Oh, no, thanks." Or they would maybe even elaborate on their experience within the church. And I got to learn a little bit more about, what that was like for them. And that was a valuable conversation that we wouldn't have been able to have if I hadn't asked them.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Are you a Christian student pursuing a career in medicine or dentistry or other discipline in healthcare and encountering challenges or even hostility in conversations with peers or your faculty because of your Christian worldview? If so, CMDA has produced a 7-module on-demand video series just for you called Standing Strong in Training. It's hosted by Dr. Jeff Barrows, who's an obstetrician and gynecologist, as well as a bioethicist. It is designed for a group setting in which you'll be introduced to a fascinating metaphor, the elephant and the rider, which is described by author Jonathan Haidt in his best-selling book, The Righteous Mind. Dr. Barrows will help you understand why you believe what you believe and how most modern people, including professionals, make moral judgments based upon intuition and emotions instead of logic and reason. This training series will help you solidify your foundational worldview beliefs on important issues like beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Standing Strong in Training will help you winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their own worldview beliefs. You can access this free series by going to cmda.org/standingstrong.
Well, let's move into this idea of the whole person care preceptorship. And that's what we want to discuss a little bit more in detail. How did you hear about it? And, well, and maybe even describe in brief, if you can, what is the whole person care preceptorship?
Yeah. So how I found out mm-hmm. about the preceptorship was at a crew conference. It was the winter conference down in Anaheim. And that was actually before I became a medical student.
Okay.
I touched base with Bob Mason, who's mm-hmm. the director of the program. And at the time, I wasn't a student, a medical student, but you have to be enrolled in a health profession in order to go to this program. Mm-hmm. So I said, Bob, I need you to pray for me. Pray that I get accepted into medical school so that I can do this preceptorship.
He prayed.
And we prayed together, and a year later I got accepted. So God was answering prayers there. And then I got to go on this trip, which the whole logistics for going on this trip is a whole nother can of worms, and how God was providing in that sense. But mm-hmm. as far as the whole person care preceptorship, yeah. essentially the goal is to teach students, mm-hmm. healthcare students, whether that's medical school, nursing, PT, OT, we even had an audiologist there, mm-hmm. teach us how to provide ethical and non-judgmental spiritual care to patients. Okay. And I think that's the reality that we oftentimes overlook when we think about spiritual care, because we're thinking, oh, it's the spirit. God's going to direct us. He's going to give us the words to speak. All of those things are true, but also there is an inherent wisdom to learning how to have these conversations and, in a sense, practicing them, because it's a skill.
Right.
So the preceptorship provides more of the training wheels to be mm-hmm. able to learn what are the ethical basis for spiritual care. Mm-hmm. How do we have these conversations? How do we make conversations about God and spirituality organic yes. and not forced?
Yeah, exactly.
And then we actually get to practice it. So we go to clinics where mm-hmm. we will see patients. We'll go to the hospital where we see patients. And we just have these conversations yeah. based on the spiritual care history that we learned how to take. And then in addition to that, we get to shadow providers mm-hmm. and see how they provide spiritual care for their patients in the clinical setting.
Yeah. Well, that is typical crew experience and training. I was on staff with crew for 17 years. And, you know, it's not just the didactic. It's not about learning all the elements as much as that is important. But you get out there and you actually practice it. You engage in a real life world setting. And I know Loma Linda has been a great partner in opening up their clinical spaces for those conversations. And I can't speak more highly enough on just how this program has had such a deep, abiding impact in the lives of the students who have attended. We'll probably have to put it in the show notes, but I was in a conversation with a young man who ended up down in Florida who was on the program a couple years ago, and again, we had a very similar conversation as we're having today, Isaac. It's a great program. What were some of the big takeaways? I mean, I know you're giving kind of the overview. Was there something in particular that was a aha moment for you? Something that just really impressed upon you that you're just never going to shake?
Absolutely. I think about the spiritual history specifically. Hmm. It's a series of questions where you're trying to understand and honestly promote curiosity for the patient. Hmm. What were their experiences in the past? Whether spiritual or non-spiritual, what are the stressors that they face? And I think what I realize is a lot of those questions don't have to exist within the realm of medicine. They can be applied to a conversation with your friend, someone that you met on the street, someone, a family member back home. Mm-hmm. And it's this really applicable tool. And just to give you a few examples, one of the things we ask our patients is, you know, how has this experience been as far as stress for you? You know, how are you handling these stressors? And then that can open the opportunity for them to say, oh, you know, I handle these stressors by spending time with family. Mm-hmm. I talk with people, you know, I pray. And that can kind of open the door to begin to have more of these spiritual discussions. And those principles can be applied to almost any conversation. If someone shares something hard with you, then that's like instantly a gateway to begin having these discussions surrounding that person's faith or spirituality.
That's great. Well, that's a 4-week intensive, isn't it? You're doing this for about 4 weeks down in Southern California, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you finish that, and then you have a rural medicine rotation. And I think it's a cool story that I want you to share with our audience about this patient encounter that you had almost immediately after this opportunity to get that training.
Right. It feels kind of divine in the sense that I had the preceptorship. Mm-hmm. I got to practice these skills with real patients. And then I immediately went into an elective rotation in a family med clinic out kind of in more rural areas of Washington. And it was great because I got to learn how to have these conversations with preceptors. Like, how do you go about telling your preceptor that, you know, you care about spiritual care and you want to pray for their patients? Mm-hmm. I think there was a learning curve there as far as how to have that conversation, and something that I won't dive into the details necessarily mm-hmm. with, but I think something that stood out to me as I was beginning to learn how to have these conversations with patients was a particular patient story. And it went something like this. We were seeing people in the family med clinic. We weren't in the hospital this day. And the attending was briefing me on this patient, said something about how the patient had kind of been difficult in the past, and I was going in to see them, and essentially good luck. And I went into the room knowing that it was something benign, like hypertension follow-up or diabetes follow-up or something like that. Anyway, I went into the room, and the patient was kind of, you know, an older woman, kind of, you know, had a lot of complaints about the world, what was going on with her health. And we kind of began to chat a little bit more. And eventually, you know, I asked them, how is this illness impacting you? And she said, oh, it's been stressful. And I said, how do you manage these stressors? She says, you know, well, I pray and I try to, you know, I try to trust God through these things. Mm. And then that kind of opened up a conversation about the church that she was going to and what that was like. And at the end of the visit, I had said something along the lines of this, which is, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, it's been great being able to talk to you a little bit more. Something that I like to offer all my patients, if they find it helpful, is prayer. And I was wondering if I could pray for you. Mm. And the second after I said that, she just started sobbing. Mm. And I handed her a tissue. And I said, you know, why are you crying? You know, what's going on? She said, there's so many providers that I see that just look at me and they see an illness, you know, they see a problem and they're thinking about how do I solve this problem? And she said, but you really care about me and you care about how I'm doing. And it's hard to find that. Hmm. And I just thought about that for a second. I was like, wow. And I thought about that more as I drove home from work that day. And I think what really stuck out to me from that encounter is spiritual care is a tool that we use in healthcare to demonstrate God's love for his people, for our patients. And, and it's not necessarily about achieving a goal of, you know, this person didn't know God and now they're, you know, confessing Lord in clinic and they're a new transformation. Although that's awesome, I think chiefly it's about showing people the love of God through listening, through serving, through trying to bridge that gap between, you know, I'm a doctor, you got a problem, I'm going to fix it. And wow, God loves you and cares about you.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
I felt like the experience that you get with the CMDA placement services is personalized because they are centered around God. They really care about me as a person and wanting to help me to find the spot that God wanted me to be. They prayed for me over the phone. and also looked over my contract before I signed with the practice that I ultimately joined.
15 years ago, I had a very specific request. Felt like the Lord had called me back from medical missions to do an OB training in family medicine, but to do an OB fellowship. At that time, I was very restricted in my time. And so during my OB fellowship, I only had a few days off for the whole year. So I reached out to CMDA at that time. Alan and his team worked diligently and literally found me one interview that later would be a very big turning point in my career.
I can confidently say that I found a practice that really matches my values and beliefs, and I know that I'll be happy with where I'm going. I suggest you reach out to the CMDA placement services, and they can kind of help you navigate through it.
I remain very grateful for CMDA placement services for being so crucial in a moment in my life where God obviously used CMDA to further guide me in my path.
Just thankful for what they gave to me, and would recommend you reaching out if you are also in a position where you're looking for where to sign.
I would encourage any of you who are looking for placement to reach out to CMDA Placement Services. They're instrumental in my path, in my career, and hopefully they can help you too.
Showing care and concern because of the Imago Dei, that they are made in the image of our God, and they have intrinsic value and honor. Just that moment you were able to show her that just broke open such an incredible testimony that, sobering in some ways, that a lot of medicine is just cranking patients through the process. But for you to have taken the time to really value her really spoke a lot and showed her Jesus at that moment. So, Isaac, thank you for being obedient and following through with God's prompting in that conversation. You're in the beginning of your training years. You've got more years ahead. But as you think about the training you had with the whole person care preceptorship, what do you want to carry forward in your career as a future physician? What do you see this training doing for you as you embark on this vocation and calling?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways it sets the standard. I want to be a provider who's intentional. We talk about this a lot during the preceptorship, that this thing that separates people from coming away from this program and not providing spiritual care versus coming away from this program and providing a career of spiritual care in the clinical setting is intentionality. And I think that's hard because you can't fake intentionality. There has to be a resolve in your heart to say, this is important and I want to do it. And honestly, it's impossible without the power and encouragement from the Holy Spirit and from your brothers and sisters. So I think about, you know, within myself, that's the intentionality that I want to have. But I also think about who are the people around me that I can encourage and build up, who I can introduce to this idea of spiritual care, and who I can encourage also to continue to provide spiritual care. I think something that God has particularly put on my heart is the colleagues and the people that I work with.
Well, you've got even a bigger scope of audience beside just your immediate circle. You've got students and other trainees, residents even, listening to this conversation. What would you like to say to them? What would be an encouragement to your fellow students that may be listening as to why this is important, why this is of value as a Christ follower to bring your faith, the spiritual care, into the clinic?
Yeah, I firstly want to say you're not alone. I think that is the number one lie that the enemy tries to put in our heads, is that you are alone. And because you're alone, clearly what you're doing is not important. And I think we see that throughout the Bible, people who kind of reach that place where they're like, I'm alone. I'm forgetting if it's, I always mix this up, if it's Elijah or Elisha.
It's Elijah.
But they go up, Elijah, right. So he goes up on the mountain and he's like hanging out in this cave because everyone's trying to kill him. And God's like, Elijah, what are you doing in this cave? And then he gives him the spiel, right? You know, I'm alone because everyone's trying to kill me. No one follows God. And God basically asks him that same question a couple times. And he says the same thing in response. And then God shows up. And Elijah realizes, I'm not alone.
Right.
That actually I didn't have a correct perception of the situation. But it, I don't think it was just that knowledge that helped Elijah push forward. It was the fact that God saw him and God encountered him. Same story with Hagar in the wilderness. God encounters her and she realizes he's El Roy. He's the God who sees me. So that would be my encouragement to everyone out there who feels alone to know that you're not alone and that God cares about the work that you're doing. And specifically, I want to throw a verse out there that's been an encouragement to me. It's Hebrews 6:10, which says, God is not unjust so as to overlook your love and the work which you've shown his name in serving the saints as you still do. I think it's this idea that God sees our labor. Galatians chapter 6 says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you'll reap a harvest if you not give up. So just remember that we are planting seeds and we are watering. God is bringing the increase, but he sees that, and that's important.
Wow. That's a great word. And Isaac, thank you so much for taking some time out. I know I'm on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast. You got up at an early hour for, for this conversation, but this was well worth it. And thank you for your faithfulness and your obedience to God and his calling upon your life, and for sharing your story. Again, appreciate this Whole Person Care conference. We're going to put information about that as well in the show notes so that if people want to pursue that, they can as well. So, Isaac, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bill.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.